Hey, folks, welcome to another edition of The Details in the Deal. I am Matt Major from Growth Mode Content. Absolutely honored to be asked to come back and help co-host this with the star of the show, Christine O'Connell Moore, realtor to the stars, I would say almost. You're always involved in the coolest deals, and it's an honor to be back here. We're going to talk about some deals. How you been, Christine?
Very good. Great summer.
Yeah.
Very busy, which is with business. I'm taking a little bit of time up at the Thousand Islands.
That's awesome.
Loving that. It makes a little more travel, but that's okay. It's part of the fun. And really appreciate the opportunity to do this with you.
Oh, it's so much fun. We love having you. People love having you. We're hearing so many great things about your content and your show that's going out around here.
Thank you.
I know later in the show, you've got a fantastic guest. You want to tell folks a little bit about who's coming up?
Absolutely. Mike Durkin, who's a great guy. I've known him in the real estate business for quite a long time. He is the VP at VIP Structures, VP for Client and Investor Relations. And Mike's kind of he can do anything related to real estate. And yeah. I think he's perfect for the job. He's going to talk about the projects that VIP are working on, both the ones that are their projects alone and also the projects where they coordinate the construction for other property owners. Some great, great projects that they're working on.
I'm excited to hear about that. Mike is a great guy, and that's going to be just an incredible fit for everything that we talk about on this podcast.
Yes, we're going to talk a lot about redevelopment of buildings on this podcast, and that's really what VIP's done a lot of.
Yeah.
And so he's the perfect guest to have.
I love it. So much great history here in Syracuse and in Central New York, and being able to do things with those properties rather than just knock them down and build something new and ugly,
yes,
is just a wonderful thing to see. So excited about
it. It's a good combination with the newer projects.
Right.
And when I was in the 80s, when I was actually the 70s, if I want to be honest, I was part of the Explorers, the scout program.
Sure.
And I studied journalism, and we had our meetings at the Post Standard Building.
Wow.
With the press and everything that was going on in there. So I have a long history with that building, and I'm really excited to hear what Mike has to say about it.
That's awesome. Before we get to Mike, though, Christine, we got to hear about what's going on with you. You've got some new listings. You've got some transactions happening. Let's jump right in.
Great. Let's talk about a property that we talked about a little bit last time.
Okay.
512-14 Lake Avenue in Rochester.
Okay.
It's along the Genesee River. It's pretty high up on a cliff, so I can't exactly call it waterfront housing, but it's 26 units of apartments. My seller has lowered his price. He's anxious to get a deal done before the snow flies. And you know, it's an 80 degree day today, so it seems strange to think about the snow flying, but it will sooner than later here.
Yeah.
And he lives in Canada. So he's, been traveling every single week to the property. He's a very responsible property owner. In fact, yesterday they were doing a new certificate of occupancy for the building. So he'll be able to provide that to whoever buys the building.
Wow.
So I just wanted to mention that again. I know we have a couple of pictures we're going to show. And we've already decreased it $50,000. And he will be willing to lower that for a quick close.
That's incredible. Gorgeous building too.
It's built like a castle.
Yeah.
It's a very cool building built in the late 1800s. One building and the second building was built in the early 1900s, like 1905. So it has quite a history, and the neighborhood has just about anything you'd want to offer.
As far
as retail, businesses, right next door to a phone company. And you're just 1 mile from downtown Rochester, and in the other direction, you go up to Lake Ontario.
That is an incredible opportunity.
It is. So we're anxious to find the right buyer for that. And I have a motivated seller, which is always a good combination.
And, I love, it just kind of speaks to your professionalism and the size of your career, because so many of these properties that we talk about, they're not just the ones here in the neighborhood, but they're across the state. It feels like you're driving up and down the thruway quite a bit.
It is. Well, I was just saying, I have your podcast to listen to, which I always
love it.
Good News York, right?
That's it.
And I always like to listen to that when I'm driving. I know that a lot of our mutual friends are part of that also.
Yeah.
So I'm actually the gentleman who owns the building in Rochester was referred to me by an attorney in Buffalo. So my contacts go all really up and down the thruway, as well as 81.
That really, in all honesty, that's you probably don't even think about it, but that's just a massive credit for you that so many folks, the most skilled people that join your business, but just haven't been in it with the experience that you have. It's really a hell of an asset. You could say my friend from Buffalo got me a new listing in Rochester. And
yes, I have a business background, and sure. I think that's really helpful in commercial real estate and also business acquisitions, because I'm dealing with business
people. Yeah.
These are people who have made investments in larger properties. And it's a bottom line spreadsheet situation.
Yeah, that's awesome. Speaking of traveling down the thruway, a little closer to us, sort of between here and Rochester, you got something out in Seneca Falls as well.
I do, and I love Seneca Falls. Historically, it's a wonderful city. Absolutely. It means so much to our area, and I actually have 15,000 square foot space available for lease in a shopping center that has fabulous regional and national tenants in it.
Oh, wow.
And it was a former Salvation Army thrift store. So it's all open. There's one area where there's a dressing room. There's a loading dock, which is really helpful. And I also have a motivated landlord there too.
Wow.
It's really the only empty spot in the whole center. So we'd like to find just the right tenant.
Yeah. That's great. And then we've talked about this a few times, but I think it might be my favorite property. You've got this horse property. I'm not even a horse person, but you got this gorgeous horse property out in Sandy Creek.
Yes, I do. And I know we talked about it last time. I wanted to show some pictures this time. The property is gorgeous, and it is drawing a lot of attention. I just started advertising it on some equestrian sites.
Oh, wow.
And which I didn't have any experience with.
Sure.
Frankly, I'm allergic to horses. So,
oh, no.
So horses are not my forte, although I grew up with them. I just couldn't be around them.
Oh, wow.
It's a beautiful farm, and it's really just an hour north of Syracuse. It has a one-bedroom apartment that you can rent. It's a legal one-bedroom apartment with a certificate of occupancy. It has a trainer's facility that you could probably turn into another apartment if you wanted to. Over 4 acres of land, all fenced in.
Wow.
And next door, over 2 other acres of land that you could buy to either grow the farm or build your dream home and have your farm next door. I mean, there's a lot of availability.
That's incredible. You know, we're talking about these updates. Of course, these are your listings, but we also should talk about kind of some of the biggest business and property updates here in the greater Syracuse area. Micron.
Yes, you got to talk about Micron. I think that
lots of Micron news.
It's amazing because there's so much going on there, and we're really starting to see it, which is nice, because I think there are a lot of people who didn't believe, and now we have a contractor.
Yeah,
we have a contractor that's been chosen, the Gil Bain Company, one of the largest contractors in the country, and they have done other beautiful properties in our area, including the amphitheater out near the fairgrounds, the Empire Credit Union Amphitheater, and they're currently building a 465-unit apartment building for SU.
Oh, really?
So, they have built the Vietnam War Memorial, the World War II War Memorial, and perhaps most interesting to some in our room, Mike, they're building the new Bill Stadium.
Oh, that's so, the same company.
Go Bills, right? Yeah, same company.
Okay.
So although they are a national company, they have a lot of experience in upstate New York.
I was just going to say that. Cool. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. They'll know the contractors to work with.
Sure.
They have quite a reputation. And I think that the announcement just came out in the last week or so.
Yeah.
And that's a big part to really getting the project going.
Hundreds of jobs. They're going to kind of set up shop here in town, I understand.
They are.
And fill some staff. And then, of course, there's all the laborers and contractors and subcontractors, right? Because a company, no matter how big they are like this,
right,
is going to tap into so many others.
Yes. And at the end of August, they're going to have a conference where potential vendors can come and meet with them.
Oh, that's
discuss
phenomenal.
How they can work with them and you know, really get things started.
Yeah.
Because it'll go fast once they really get started.
Oh, I
guess. And I think we'll see probably in the next 2 months or so, trees being moved, earth being moved, and the beginning of which is quite exciting.
I'm very excited.
It's really gathering a lot of enthusiasm for the area. You know, apartment units are being built, housing is being built, other housing is being built. And the CEO of Key Bank was just made a big announcement. He felt this is going to be one of the biggest things that happened in the country. With fastest growth. And for someone like Key Bank to say that that's pretty dramatic. They normally are pretty conservative, and they've been really focused on the Midwest.
Wow.
And I like the idea that they're looking at Syracuse again.
Yeah. A lot of people might have forgotten, but this initial CHIPS Act investment in manufacturing was the single biggest investment in manufacturing in the history of this country, potentially even the history of the world.
Yes.
You know, so, and we're getting the bulk of that.
That's right.
Right here.
That's right. I mean, everyone says this is the most exciting thing to happen to Syracuse since the Erie Canal.
Yeah.
And I think when you think about what the Erie Canal was like and what it meant to upstate New York, it's huge.
Right.
Yes. Yes. And Micron is starting to open offices in I always call them the exit, or not exit towers, but one of the other names, what it used to be, but it's One Lincoln Center in downtown Syracuse. And they're going to have a showroom on the first floor that'll show some of the things that they're doing. And they've taken over the whole eighth floor, which to be a full floor tenant in downtown Syracuse is a big deal.
That's huge.
And they're going to put their name on the building.
Yeah.
So we're going to really see the Micron name very quickly around
town. I think that'll change the naysayers immediately.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Well, we're kind of a show me sort of area. Yeah. And you know, honestly, big projects have been announced in the past and they haven't happened.
Yeah.
Not to be negative, but I think that's the reality.
Yeah.
So it makes people a little cynical. And I'm really excited about this. And when I see the investments coming into the area, that's just not something that is done without really thinking about it.
Right. Yeah. No, that's wonderful. Yes. So Christine, let's dive in deep on something that's been talked about quite a bit. You and I have talked about this quite a bit. But nowadays, we even mentioned a little earlier, nowadays we're seeing a lot of redevelopment of a building where it's not taking a lot or taking an existing building and dropping it to the ground and building new, but they're really trying to make the most of this, the bones that we're left with, so to speak. Can you talk to us a little bit about this trend and maybe give us some examples, some things that are happening locally?
Absolutely. And it is exciting because we have some beautiful buildings that have been probably minimizing it by saying underutilized in the last few decades. And so one of the things I think is really exciting is a building in Franklin Square, which for those, if you're not familiar with the Syracuse area, is just outside of downtown. It was traditionally a manufacturing area. Mm-hmm. In fact, there are buildings that trains used to go through in Franklin Square, which is pretty cool. So the Icon Group, which is a pretty major developer in the area, they're just opening a major retailer on Erie Boulevard right now, and they have purchased what is called the Syracuse Lighting Building.
Oh, wow.
And its background is with National Grid, and prior to that, Niagara Mohawk.
I see.
So I think that's kind of cool that, we have buildings with those kind of histories with businesses that are still in town.
Yeah.
But, you know, having different needs. And they are going to convert it into 75 apartments.
Okay.
You'll be able to see a lot of things from the building. I think you can see the lake. You can see the highways. You'll be able to quickly get to major employers from that area. And that's going to be exciting.
I really like that neighborhood. I think it's just the neatest little area. It is, like you said, it's sort of in the middle of things, but it also feels like it's kind of, you know, not crowded by other parts of the city.
Right.
I don't know. It's just a fun, lots of trees and great coffee shops. And I don't know. I like it.
I actually started my current company in Franklin Square.
Oh, really?
So in Bridgewater Place, which is the building I had alluded to where the trains used to come right through it.
Gotcha.
And that's cool. And they still have some old train bridges and you can see what it was like.
Love that history.
Yeah. That's a very cool building. And all of them in Franklin Square really are. And there aren't many left.
Yeah.
You know, that haven't been done.
I hear you. Out in Liverpool, we're doing some things as well, right? With a Comfort Inn, a hotel, motel.
Yes. This is another hotel, motel that is being converted into apartments.
Okay.
It's being done by a pretty major apartment owner in the Syracuse area. And they expect to have over 90 apartments and a restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's an area that could use some more restaurants.
What's your opinion on this, Christine? Because we see a lot of this where they're doing that. You know, you picture a hotel. Well, that's already a place with sort of mini apartments, right? So it's sort of natural. But at the same time, in our area, we're kind of hurting for hotel rooms.
Yes.
So, you know, as a developer comes in and they look at maybe a hotel that's for sale, what goes through their head in terms of should I run it as a hotel versus turn it into apartments?
I think a lot of the properties that are being turned into apartments are older properties.
I see.
And so, you know, they're looking at the amenities that people want when they travel today. And people are very brand sensitive too.
Gotcha.
We've talked about that. And I think that hotels are going to already have a lot of the infrastructure that you would need for apartments. And that's one of the most expensive things is to put in the water and the sewer and the bathrooms. You know, so if you can turn two rooms into a one or a two bedroom apartment, or efficiency apartments, you could do that, fairly reasonably, and your zoning is a lot easier to do.
Gotcha.
You already have parking.
Yeah.
And you may already have some of the amenities that you might want for apartments too. The trend is to turn buildings into apartments.
Yeah.
I did see in Chicago that they're actually turning an apartment building into an office building.
Oh,
so that's different. And I thought that, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now Coca-Cola is doing that. They've got some deep pockets, and they apparently fell in love with a building in Chicago and really wanted it.
Wow.
So I think it'll be interesting to watch what happens with that and see if that does trend, as people go back to the office.
And that's sort of been the thing, right? Especially when people left the offices and in these big cities, and now they're like, we got all this commercial real estate. What do we do?
Right.
It seemed like the natural answer was, we'll turn them into apartments.
Yes.
But now we're coming back to work a little bit, and it's interesting.
It'll be interesting to see if it becomes a trend, because it's certainly not a trend right now. But I thought that the fact that it was actually even happening was interesting.
And you know, as we talk about repurposing buildings in Syracuse, we got to mention, what is the official name of it? City Center? Is that the name of the official new name of the building?
City Center, 400 South Solana Street.
Yes. Downtown, the next block over from the theater, if you're familiar with Syracuse. The Red House, which is an independent theater group. They just put up their new marquee on that new building, right?
They did. And it's beautiful. And I'm so happy for them. It's a great organization. They started on the edge of Armory Square, Franklin Square, with a much smaller building. And they have become really part of the redevelopment of City Center. For those of you who remember Syracuse in the 80s, probably 70s and 80s, that's where Sibley's was, Sibley's department store.
Gotcha.
And that's where you did your shopping. I shopped there many times. They had a tea room. It was a great place.
Wow.
And then, as what happened with, a lot of retail downtown, it went dark, and it's been redeveloped into beautiful offices, a courtyard, the theater, which is a very unique thing to have in a building like that.
Yeah.
And I think they have a great list of programs coming out, and they will bring more people downtown too. And that's what you want to see is the action downtown.
100%. So much happening in that those few blocks coming to life. It's pretty cool.
And two marquees. And my understanding that we haven't seen two marquees in downtown Syracuse since probably the 50s, maybe early 60s.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, I remember my dad telling me that there were a lot of theaters downtown that they used to go.
Yeah, they used to. Someone, maybe it was you that was telling me that was a very unique thing where they were all over the place. I couldn't even imagine it, but
yes.
Well, they were pretty neat.
People didn't have the entertainment options they have today.
That's great. What else we got going on around town, Christine?
Well, I want to talk about Cazenovia College.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
For those who know the area, Cazenovia is a beautiful eastern suburb of the Syracuse market. And Cazenovia College was there for almost 200 years. And they closed a couple of years ago, really part of the downsizing of some of the smaller liberal arts colleges that just couldn't make it, especially after COVID.
Right.
And that was a real... problem for the area because they lost major employers and employees, and all of probably 600 or 700 or 800 students.
Yeah.
And so but they had this college had always done a really nice job of keeping their buildings up. My sister's a graduate of Cazenovia College. It's a gorgeous campus, and it's a block from the farmers market that happens on Saturdays, and great restaurants and walking trails and breweries, and Cazenovia's a great area, and you're right on a lake too. You're next to the lake, which is great. So a group of Cazenovia residents have band together, and they've bought the campus.
Oh wow!
They have not. There's 9 of them. They really want to try to keep it local.
That's wow.
And they haven't really announced what they're going to do yet. But I'm excited to see the people who are involved. It's a pretty diverse group. And that's something I think we'll want to talk about in the future when we know more. But I did want to mention it because certainly there'll be a reuse of the dorms and the office buildings.
What's your, just for fun,
yes,
what would be your best guess of what you think they might do there?
Definitely senior housing, I would
say.
Because that, it's really hard to object to senior housing.
Yeah.
And so that's fairly easy to put through.
I see.
I would think that some of the dorms could be turned into apartments because, again, you have infrastructure there.
Yeah.
You have study buildings. You have office buildings. I just saw a television interview with some people who live in Cazenovia. And one lady said, geez, it'd be great if they could open the pool to the community. So I could see.
I didn't realize they had a pool.
They do.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they have huge riding stables, too.
They
have a big equestrian programs at Cazenovia College, or had them at Cazenovia College. Sure. So I think there's some community services that could be provided.
That's wonderful.
And I think the community will be looking for that.
That's wonderful.
So it'll be diverse because I don't think it'll just be one thing. It's too big of a space and too small of a town.
I've seen recently some advertising. There seems to be a group of folks that are really trying hard to push Kaz as a great place to be and place to come and live. It's kind of it's neat to see.
It is.
It's gorgeous.
There's beautiful, beautiful vintage buildings in town that have really been preserved. There's mega mansions along the lake in some areas. There's a beautiful winery out there, one of our favorite places. I really love Casanova. We live in Lafayette, and that's 17 miles to Casanova and 17 miles to Skinny Atlas. We're right in the middle. And we really enjoy having the choice of going to those two lakes.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Christine, before we jump out of here and bring in the great Mike Durkin, anything else that we should talk about?
Just wanted to mention the former Sears store in Syracuse.
Oh, yeah.
That is a store that I remember going to with my mom when I was little in the 60s. And it closed 65, 66, I think. And really, it has been underutilized ever since. Yeah. And it has been purchased, and it is going to become a new center for training called the On-Ramp Center. And this building sits just a few blocks outside of downtown Syracuse. It's a gorgeous old building. And they'll train people with advanced skills for technology and other needs in the area, which we're going to need with Micron.
100%.
And, we didn't even talk about the suppliers that'll be coming from Micron. And it's an Art Deco building. And it's really sitting right at the edge of an area of Syracuse that's really expanding. There's been a huge investment both in technology and medical facilities and in other businesses in that market. So I'm really excited to see what happens with that Sears.
Who's behind that, Christine? Is it the state themselves or is it something else?
Well, there's definitely money coming from the state to help with that, but Center State has been a big proponent of
it. I see.
And I think that they've provided the funding they've already hired someone.
Is Center State actually going to own the building? Is that going to become one of theirs? Or?
I'm not clear about that.
Gotcha.
But I know that they will be in charge. They'll be the tenant there, if nothing else. And they have hired a senior training person to run it, which is pretty exciting. And I think that's going to be up fast.
It's all in that area near the new JMA Wireless, where they've built multiple city blocks of business campus and lots of things happening over there.
And the bus company, that's their major headquarters there. And I've had clients look at some buildings in that market. So there's a lot of interest. There hasn't been a lot of interest in what I'll call the southern part of downtown for quite a long time until the last few years.
Gotcha.
And it's really great to see that area growing. You can walk to work if you work downtown.
Yeah.
And you'll see more housing going up there too. Where there's people, there'll be housing.
Right. Right. That's great. Lots happening.
Yes.
It was funny because it's the summer, usually, at least in my business, in the technology business, it's often the lull, everybody's on vacation. They're kind of checked out a little bit and it's hard to get deals done or things of that nature. It seems like in your business, and of course, the weather probably lends itself to
it
property shopping, but
right. And in construction, certainly.
Yeah.
But it's for, you're much easier to get someone to come here in August than February.
Sure.
So it is busy in the summertime and that's good because, as a business owner, you're a business owner, you have to work when the work is there.
Yep.
And so that's what we do. And then we take a little bit of time off in February.
That's great.
Yes.
That's great. Anything else?
I wanted to just mention that the Great Northern Mall and the Lakeshore Village. These are two properties that are being developed by the Hart Lyman Companies. We don't have final plans for them yet, so I'd like to table further discussions until another podcast. But they're excellent examples of existing buildings that will be reused, and I think they won't look like they looked like before, but they'll be diverse and they'll be. Yeah, I think that Lakeshore Village will definitely be
Where is Lakeshore Village?
That is on Lakeshore Road in Cicero.
Okay.
And if you you're almost to South Bay Road runs kind of parallel to it, and it's right on the water. There's a golf course there now. Lakeshore.
I was going to say right by the country club. Okay.
Right. Yep. It's all part of that.
That'll
all be part of it. And you couldn't ask for a more beautiful setting.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, when you sit in the club there and you look out at the water and a night of lake is just gorgeous.
It is.
One of my favorite views is when you go over Route 81 and you see Oneida Lake, and it just always makes me smile.
Yeah. I love that. And I honestly love hearing about making good use of the mall too. I am a big old school fan of malls. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this recently. If you could find a mall for sale, I want to buy one. I don't know that I could ever afford like a Great Northern, but I think about in Ilion, where I grew up, our small town, we had Faze Mall, you know, it was anchored by Faze Drugs.
Yes.
And there was maybe half a dozen shops in it. And it was just the neatest thing. And I want one.
Well, the old Kmart Mall in Herkimer was for sale not too long ago.
Yep.
And, you know, if you're looking for something of that size, I'll find you something.
I know you will. Christine, this has been a blast. I'm going to duck out of here so you can bring in your guest. But I really appreciate you having me on the show. I have so much fun. I learned so much from this. Like I said, I'm not in the real estate world, but that's always been sort of my hobby.
Yes.
So.
Well, and I love working with you because I know you have a passion for it. So that is that makes everything easier, more fun. I mean, then time goes by very quickly.
Yeah. That's awesome. Stick around, folks. Christine will be right back with the great Mike Durkin.
Thank you. Well, we're back, and it's my pleasure to introduce a guest for this segment. This is my friend, Mike Durkin. Mike is a vice president, at VIP Structures, and I've known him for quite a long time. We've done some real estate deals together, where we've been in a networking group together, and seem to run into each other all the time.
So. I try to keep up with you, Christine.
Oh, well, you know. Some days it's easier than others, right? Yeah. So, Mike, can you tell us a little bit about VIP Structures and your background and what you're doing there?
Absolutely. So VIP Structures, we're celebrating our 50th year, so we're super excited about that. We are known as design builders, so that means we have in-house architecture and engineering, as well as in-house construction. In the mid-80s, we added development to our box of tricks. So over the years, we've developed about 4 million square feet. And over those 50 years, we've designed and or constructed about 45 million square feet, mostly in upstate New York. We did venture around the country back in the 80s for a couple clients. But we are, we're locally owned, we're women owned, we're second generation family business. We've got 150 people right now between the four companies. And, you know, today I'm super excited to talk about adaptive reuse of buildings, you know, in and around downtown Syracuse, as well as just in and around the region.
That's so exciting. And we've seen so many great things happening in the last few years, especially near downtown Syracuse. And that seems to have been your focus recently and for your company itself. And I know you've done work throughout the state also.
Yeah, sure.
Tell us a little bit about the Post building, because I find that such an exciting building.
Yeah. So the former Post Standard newspaper building, we acquired that in 2017, and the newspaper was printed there until 2022. We took possession and moved in 2023. And the next phase of the project is going to take the north end, which a lot of folks, if you're from Syracuse, you'll be driving on 690 or 81, and you'll know that north end. It's that wall of glass where the press was added in 99. And we're going to take that north end, which is super tall, and we're going to add floors within it. So we'll have four floors of apartments facing north and west and east up there on the second floor. And then on the east side of the building on Salina Street, we're going to rip the face off of the building. And we're going to put in storefront glass that runs from about 4 feet above the ground to the roof. It's about 25 feet tall of glass. And we're going to add a floor within it. So we'll have two floors of apartments facing east and four floors of apartments facing north for a total of 72 apartments, market rate with a mix of affordable workforce housing in there as well. And what we really love about this concept on a number of points would be reactivating that stretch of Salina Street that's underutilized since the newspaper moved out. The activity on that stretch is we're on the north end of downtown. We're not quite to the north side of 690. So we're going to reactivate that corridor, which is going to be super important for the neighborhood. Within the building, we've got four commercial tenants, ourselves, Future Brands, NBT Bank, and NRG Energy. We're going to be able to have those tenants kind of bump into, if you will, the residential tenants throughout the building, just build more community. We find our building to be all our buildings, we have a community focus. We want folks to live, work, and play downtown. And if that means within our four walls and roof or just in that neighborhood, we want folks to get excited and want to live downtown, work downtown, play downtown. Another cool thing about the Post is we've got 300 plus parking spaces that we control and we manage, and to provide our commercial tenants and our residents on-site parking or parking across the street is crucial for a downtown living experience. So we're really excited about not just the location, but our ability to park and our ability to bring this building into a mixed use that you see all around the country right now.
Absolutely. So those 300 parking spots, it's everything.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I'm thinking about, so on the east side of the building, people will look at Hanover Square?
We're 1.5 blocks north of that. So we will be looking over towards 100 Clinton. We'll be looking towards Willow Street. It's kind of where Harold Place and Willow Street kind of come together. So Dinosaur is on the west side of our property. We're facing east on that Salina Street side.
No lack of good places to eat within walking distance, for sure.
You walk out of our building and you're either smelling Dinosaur cooking, or every now and then you get a glimpse of the glazed and confused donuts across the street. So, yeah, you walk out hungry.
Definitely. So I think it's very interesting what you're doing with what I'm calling the atrium part of the building, where the printing press used to be, right? You know, because a lot of times you don't see people put floors in. Their floors are already in the buildings, and they make use of those floors.
Sure.
But you're actually, it's actually great because you'll be able to customize the apartments to exactly what you want instead of having to work with what's there.
That's right.
So that's very cool and very different.
Yeah, they're going to be really unique. There's a few spots in the building at that north end that we have what's called cross bracing, big, you know, X-shaped forms of steel that beams. And we're designing right with those intact. And they're going to be super cool and modern and market rate, right? But you'll have a few of these moments where you've got some X-bracing in your living room, which is, you know, it's just going to be really super cool.
I love seeing that. One of my favorite buildings is Nettleton Commons.
Yeah.
And I love seeing how much they kept of the old factory in there.
Yeah.
And I like seeing old schools, and they leave the boards, you know, so that, and the chalk and everything. Yeah. And it's cool. I think we share a passion for those kind of buildings. So you, within the last few years, moved your business from what we're now calling One Webster's Landing. Landing, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know that's another project that you're working on, more apartments.
Yeah. So we, that was our headquarters for 30 plus years. And when we moved out in 23, we already had a plan in place that we were going to convert that into apartments. So we ended up with 34 one bedroom apartments. That building is turn of the century, back in the late 1800s, exposed brick, big wood timbers. And so we kept all that intact. And the building has a little bit of a unique shape. It's not quite square. The views are amazing in every direction. And so it took us about 6 to 8 months to fill those 34 units, but we're full and we've got a waiting list. There's not a shortage of demand in downtown Syracuse. That's just outside the central business district. So the parking, again, is phenomenal. It's right at the doorstep. And we're right the bridge between downtown and Franklin Square is where Webster's Landing is located.
Yes. It's one of those buildings that if you don't know how to get there, sometimes it's a little confusing to find. Right. But once you've done it, you go, okay, I've been by here a million times. I just didn't know to turn here to go into the building. Right. And that, you know, earlier I talked about what's going on in the south part of downtown Syracuse, the southern, and now we're really seeing a lot of things happening on the north side too, which is great.
Yeah. The north end is definitely being reactivated. It has been for a number of years. We're super happy with what happened of the M&T headquarters and the now Treasury, which is kind of kitty corner from the south end of our post project. It really is just amazing. I started working downtown in 2012, and I want to say the numbers were like 1,700 people living downtown, and now we're north of 5,000 people, and that's, you know, about 12 years later. That's phenomenal growth.
With high 90s occupancy.
Yeah.
Right. That's amazing. Yeah. The suburbs aren't doing that.
No.
Yeah. So that's quite interesting.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate talking about the Post and Webster's. Those are recent projects that are underway or just in the last year or so. But what really started our adaptive reuse development was the Pike Block, which is at the corner of Fayette and Salina Street. We call it Main and Main. It's really the heart of downtown. And that was five historic buildings that we acquired and pulled together, and now it's 68 apartments. It's going on 10 years old, and we are full every year. COVID, we had a little bit of a dip, right? We have a lot of med students and grad students who live in our properties downtown. And so we had a little bit of a dip during COVID because the kids didn't know if they were coming back to school in person or not. But it was a short-lived 5 or 6 vacancies, but we're right back to full.
Well, I love the diversity of those buildings too. Yeah. You know, the apartments are different. You know, they're not cookie cutter at all.
No, they are not.
And I'm sure that was complicated.
It was.
Because that was an example where you already had floors and you had to work with what was there.
Correct.
Right.
And it was in rough shape. Yes.
I pulled up some pictures of what it used to look like, and it was rough.
Yeah.
Yes. So what can you talk a little bit about the commercial tenants you have there too?
Yeah. So at the Pike Block, it's Center State CEO is our largest commercial tenant. Pathfinder Bank has a branch there. FTS, which is a staffing company, moved into the Bond building a couple of years ago. We love having them right in downtown with an office use, but more of a we always envisioned that space to be retail. And credit to them, they envision it as their highly visible office. We've got Skellerge and Champs, which sells vintage athletic clothing, a lot of SU memorabilia. Original Grain on the corner, Milano Bean just moved in, a great coffee shop that has connections to Brooklyn. So they just opened it about a month ago. And I think that rounds out the commercial tenants. But again, it was super important for downtown for that corner to get reactivated. So we're really proud of what we did about 10 years ago there.
And that was really a big contributor to that block and the blocks that surround downtown Syracuse too, because once somebody really makes an investment, it does bring in other investments too.
It does.
I think you guys deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, Salina Street compared to 10 years ago is amazing. You know, big respect for all the developers that have put their blood, sweat, and tears, whether it's the Days and Addis buildings or Symphony Place or City Center, Ryan Benz and Steve Case with what they're doing over on their stretch of Salina Street. I mean, it takes nerve to do that and patience and confidence and perseverance. So
yes,
we're just excited that we're part of a group of folks who aren't afraid to roll up their sleeves and make Syracuse a better place.
And it generally takes a little longer than you think that it's going to take, right?
It takes a lot longer.
Yeah. So that's where the patience comes into play.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. So those are some of the projects that you've developed within your company, sure, for your company. And I know that you've done other work for customers and some really exciting projects. Do you want to talk a little bit about those?
We would love to. We were doing a little report just the other day for a project that we're pursuing. And we've realized that we've designed and or built almost 1,000 units over the last 10 years throughout the region. One of the most recent ones that's getting a lot of acclaim is Ed Albert's project up in Oswego at the Market House. Phenomenal brewery on the first floor, beautiful historic apartments up on the upper floors. We've done a number of projects for Matt Paulus, the Dietz over on the west side, Smith Restaurant building downtown, a large one down in Binghamton with Matt or for Matt, that we were the architect and engineer of record for those. We're doing construction for Ryan Benz on Fayette Street right now. We're doing construction for High Tide Capital that's transforming 250 Harrison right across from the Tech Garden, or I should say Inspire.
Yes.
Right above Allen Angus. So we are not always the developer. We love putting our expertise in construction and or design. We are for hire.
Well, it's great that you have so many different facets to your company too, because you're not waiting for somebody else to get back to you on something, sure, or to finish another job. I mean, you can really have a lot more control over that.
Yeah. Yeah. We fit in on a project, whether it's design or construction or development. We have a role, and we just love to be able to provide our expertise and our history and our experience. And one of the things that we can't help ourselves from doing is, since we own and manage and develop property, when we're sitting down with our client, we're coming from it from an owner's perspective. We're giving that client guidance on, all right, it might be less expensive to build it this way, but what are your operating costs in years 2 through 15? So it's not always about the most economical way to approach a project, because if it's going to cost you more to manage it in the future, that's not necessarily helping you either.
Right. Because you'll understand how materials are going to hold up. And you probably had some that didn't hold up the way that you wanted them to. Right. So you can share that experience.
There's a lot of wear and tear, and mechanical systems are expensive to maintain and care for. So you just got to be careful and buy the right equipment so the property stands and you're not constantly swapping out gear that just didn't last as long as you had hoped.
Turnover is expensive.
Sure is.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining today.
Oh, thank you.
I really appreciate the information. And I'm sure you're going to have some more projects coming up that we'll be able to talk about. So we're going to close the podcast for now. But I wanted to let you know that our next podcast will be in just a few weeks. And Robin Cortese will be joining us. She's the brand champion for Visit Syracuse. Fantastic person with a great business background. Very enthusiastic about the area, and she's going to talk about how her organization can help people coming into the area, people growing in the area, and people who just want to learn more about Syracuse and Central New York. So thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.